friend, Remarkable Results Radio, Carm Capriotto here, episode 541. Hey, we have got an aftermarket couple, Jennifer Filzen and husband Renee Ariola, in my studio at Vision 2020. Yes, another interview from Vision. Now, Jen and Renee are from Rockstar Marketing. This husband and wife duo, they've got a lot to say on how important that your brand is a reflection of you. Vision 2020 has some great memories for me. How about you? Hey, not only great interviews and a chance to meet members of my tribe, but about the time when I got my last haircut, we as a nation shut down soon after Vision 2020, and it's been about 3 months now. Vision 2020 for me is a placeholder in my mind for some truly great interviews and the last conference I attended so far this year. I see most of us moving into phase two of the reopening, and some are in phase three. Above all, please, please be careful. Hey, look, I want to thank a strong supporter of the podcast, Napa Gold Certified. And as you know, the Napa Expo has officially been rescheduled to February 1st through the 4th, 2021. Las Vegas, no doubt they'll have the paint cans out, blue and gold, as Team Napa puts on the fabulous event that was planned prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, Napa wants to thank everyone for understanding the event postponement, and they send well wishes to you and your families. Rest assured, Team Napa is as energized and invested as ever in Napa Expo, and we look forward to hosting you in February 2021. Hey, here's a taste of a great interview with Jennifer Filzen and Renee Ariola.
In fact, everything that we do reflects our brand, from how we answer the phone when a client calls in, to having a female service advisor sitting at the desk, to having candy in the lobby.
The cold water, the comfortable furniture, the experience.
Yes.
Hey, Carm here. Now remember, we hold the nuts and the bolts of the automotive aftermarket business acumen right here. Young and old, founders and successors, techs, diagnosticians, shop owners, and even students. We're here to help you rise to new levels and meet your challenges with the industry's premier online and on-demand podcast. Hey, I'm deeply honored to have you once again as a loyal listener to my shows, and I would love you to complete a very, very short survey. I want you to tell me about how we can make the podcast better. Go to remarkableresults.biz/survey, or on my homepage, there's a link to the survey, and I thank you. Great stories? Well, they create a powerful web of positivity that proves to be most helpful in these crazy times. Now, this gives everyone, especially the listeners of the show, a sense of relief and a profound sense of what to do to be able to help. Our story today is no different than all the others. This power couple gives us a different approach in branding that is proven effective and creative. This is what the world needs today, right now. Visual eye candy and a sense of purpose to rise up again to face the uncertainty of tomorrow. Now meet my guests. Renee Ariola is a graphic designer and a comic book artist who is responsible for the media, while Jennifer has uncanny writing skills, which launched her to writing SEO content for websites, social media, marketing posts, and blogs. That's a perfect 1-2 punch. Looks like a match made in heaven. Their emphasis in visual and writing content makes them a branding powerhouse. This episode tackles collaboration as an integral part of open communication with clients. Digging down deep to their creative roots is their emphasis on customer experience and customer service. Jennifer and Renee put meticulous attention on gathering information and your overall presence over the internet. Is your website updated? Are your videos up to date? You can find the key talking points for this episode with Jennifer Filzen and Renee Ariola at remarkableresults.biz/E541. Hey, remember, what you do reflects your brand. Hey, a warm welcome to two guests here in the Vision 2020 studio, and you've heard her before, Jennifer Filzen from Rockstar Marketing. Hello, Jen.
Hello, darling.
How you doing?
I am so fantastic. Yeah, it's great to be back in Kansas City.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, last year, I think we talked about your book.
Yes.
About dancing.
Yes.
And that was really a cool off-the-wall episode that we did. Thank you for that. But you brought a guest with you.
I did. My husband, Renee Ariola, who is a graphic designer as well as a comic book artist. And he works with us in Rockstar Marketing. He's in charge of our Rockstar Media division.
How cool is that? And so we are going to talk about branding and not looking like everyone else.
Right.
And, you know, no pressure on you, Renee.
No, none at all.
to go out and have to create or reinvent someone's, you know, image, and how critical. And I think you would all agree, here we are looking at websites and Facebooks and Instagrams, and we're making judgments on the business that we may want to do business with or how they come across to the public. And so much of it, Jen, and I'm not sure I'm right, but I think I am, looks the same.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's a little stodgy.
Right.
And so you probably said to Renee, hey, look, I know you've got a great career in graphic design and comic book stuff, but let's team up and reinvent.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what we did. And Renee has been serving a lot of our clients, and they have been using his talents and creating some really cool stuff I'll let him talk about.
Jennifer says to you, listen, let's do this project, a new logo, some graphic stuff, some video ads. And how do you approach that? Give me an idea.
So one of the things I do is obviously I talk with Jen about, you know, who the client is, because I'm in this for about a year so far, working full-time in this capacity as this graphic artist / media. So it helps knowing from Jen firsthand who the clients are and what their goals are and who they are as people as well.
Stop for one moment. Back in, you know, your company, Rockstar Marketing, what you do so well is you get deep into the storyline of the customer. So it's not hard to relate to Renee. Renee, if you go in with all that backstory, then it's going to be easier for you to create.
Absolutely. It is easier for me to do that. Obviously, going into something blind where someone says, I need a logo, just make it look good. That's one of the hardest challenges.
That's hard.
Yeah. But it is rarely ever that case. I usually have a working relationship at least through Jen, and she can fill me in. The things I also do, if I can, is communicate with the client directly.
You know, let's stop for a moment and tell the audience that you just heard some incredibly important information on the look of your brand and logo development. And it's a big country, lots of shops, people are looking to differentiate themselves. So even though you're for hire, and this is not, we're not doing this episode about that, what can you share with our shop owner out there that would love to rebrand and recreate themselves, that if you sat in a meeting and I'm the shop owner and you're the designer, what kind of questions would you be asking me so that you could start design?
I would start asking kind of like questions that lead more in the direction of what is your message and how do you want to be perceived as a person? Not so much the company is important as well, the client, but like it's a really good sound, I think, to who that unique person, what that person, in this instance, I'll say that it's the owner, let's say.
It's amazing for me to think that you'd want to find out more about me so that it comes out in the logo. I mean, wow, is that a stretch?
It can be. I just did a recent logo for someone actually who will be here, who will be showing off this brand new logo. She was actually someone who had very much hands-on experience with doing logo work before. Mm-hmm. So she was very clear about what she wanted. She definitely had a very clear vision of what she wanted, down to the graphics, the look and feel. She even showed me something that she had done before. So it was helpful to do that. So the more that I know about the individual or the person, that's a good springboard, because obviously you want to tie into how to relate or somehow capture, you know, your clients.
So here's the picture of my shop. Here's a picture of my team. Here's a picture of my lobby. Here is my website. Here's some of the other stuff that we've put out. Here's the flyers that we've done. And you sit with all of this stuff and you like it or you love it, but you learn what has been the face of the business in the past. And then you find out from the owner, so where are you going and how are you getting there?
Exactly. So the thing is, when you look at a logo design, we have to ask, like, why do you want to change it? Does it need to be changed?
Well, you know, that's huge right there.
That is
right
huge.
There.
Yeah.
Why do you want to change what you've got if it's been working for blank? The owner may say, I'm not sure it's working. It could be old. I mean, it's 2020. And look at what you see everywhere. You just watch TV and realize how old your logo is.
Even Facebook changed its logo recently.
Yeah.
Everything needs a refresh often.
Are refreshes risky?
I think they can be. Like I said, there has to be a little more drill down into why they would want to change the logo or modify it. Like, I've done modifications. I've done totally brand new logos for brand new companies that are just starting out. But I think having that frank discussion of, like, why do you want to change it? Do you see it as being something that's going to put you in a different light, in a better light maybe? So those kind of questions that I would ask would be like, what is the reason for the change? What are your competitors doing? And it's also taking inventory of that logo. Does it have history? Because if it has history.
Who are your competitors?
Exactly.
Not what they're doing, but who are they? I really need to know who you're up against.
Exactly.
And I need to look at their logos.
Correct. It's just so you can kind of get a foothold on what's currently happening. Because if you've been doing something for 20 years and you have a certain like logo, and then you're seeing everyone else around you making a change, then maybe the appearance is that you're not as in step with the times. Mm. And you don't want to give that impression of having something look outdated. So that could be a very valid reason to want to just change things up. So you look like you're keeping in lockstep. Could be everything from your logo to your website. Is the website responsive? You know, is it a responsive design type of element? So those are the kind of things that would help me to understand where we're going with any kind of change in your logo or any kind of approach in your branding.
It's a collaboration, Jen?
Very much so. I mean, we are so in tune with telling the unique story about our clients. We want to know what makes them special and unique, and we want to know who their target demographic is. And if their visual collateral, their brand, their business cards, their signage, all of the pamphlets and brochures they have, their website presence, their Facebook presence, et cetera, if it matches their voice accurately, it will attract the tribe that they are targeting.
Oh my God. I mean, you just said a mouthful.
Yeah.
It's their voice.
The
logo has to look like their voice.
Because if it's incongruent, the people are going to question the validity of that brand. You know, I'm sure you've seen it. You know, you'll see a newspaper ad and a sign on the side of a vehicle and a Facebook page. And if everything doesn't line up, you question, is that the same? For example, we just landed here in Kansas City just today, and I am driving down the road in our rental car, and I'm seeing some signs from the airport, and I see Apple Vacations. Now, I'm a huge Apple user. I have my iPhone, my Mac, my all kinds of my watch. I've got all my Apple products. And immediately, as soon as I saw Apple Vacations, I thought, oh, is Apple getting into vacations now? It's just Apple is so synonymous for me with one brand. And I thought, no, that couldn't be possible. That I've never heard of it before. And we're in Monterey, California, which is relatively close to
Apple. Yeah, you would
know.
But I think there is an Apple travel agency or something.
Sure.
Is there? Yeah.
But it's perfect because they're capitalizing on a very, very popular brand, right? Not bad. That's pretty smart. But to not be confused, you know, I have a client in South Carolina who is Brown Motorworks. And he is Brown Motorworks Northeast, and then the competitor and yet friend across town is also Brown Motorworks. They've had a partnership, but they're separate. And so it's tough when it's very similar name, and the only thing differentiating the two is Northeast. So it's interesting because I find that in our industry, there are a lot of cookie-cutter things going on branding-wise. Look at the uniforms of a lot of shops. Look at the colors of a lot of shops. Put money on it. A lot of them have blue and red and black somewhere in their logo, right? When you want to stand out amongst the very competitive field, you want to make sure that everything that you're doing reflects your voice, what makes you special and unique. Are you specialized in something? Are you a superhero in something? You want everything to reflect that. And one of the cool things about the people that have been working with Renee lately is they are thinking outside of the box. They want something that really stands out. So Bill Greeno of Quality Auto Servicing in Truckee, California, instead of just taking pictures of his team, he's having Renee do illustrations of his team that looks very much like Norman Rockwell style drawings of his team. And I thought that was really cool because Bill likes to stand out and having illustrations
off the charts. I love it.
Yeah.
I so love it.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And then Gary Olson of Airport Automotive in Colorado Springs, he knew that Renee was a comic book artist and asked that Renee create a brochure telling a tale of two cars, buying one versus maintaining one. And Renee did this amazing brochure, trifold brochure, that's all comic book style. I mean, tell me that won't stand out.
It will. And it tells a story in almost a non-threatening way.
Yes.
It gets the message across.
Yes. And who doesn't love comic books? I mean, come on. I'm a little biased.
Hey, it's Carm here. Today, I have a special message for Napa Auto Care Centers who are looking to take the next step in growing their business and partnership. Now, if you're ready to strive and take it to the next level, Napa invites you to consider Gold Certification. Gold Certification is a premier tier of Napa Auto Care that recognizes repair shops with a higher level of participation in the Auto Care program. The program was built by Auto Care Centers for Auto Care Centers to provide a consistent consumer experience, maximize technology leverage, and reward Napa's most committed partners. When consumers visit a gold-certified auto care center, whether it's a small facility in a rural community or a multi-bay shop in a large metropolitan area, they can expect a first-class service repair experience. This includes a well-trained staff using today's technology and quality Napa parts in a comfortable, up-to-date facility. Customers at gold-certified shops will also enjoy an extended parts and labor warranty, valuable saving opportunities, along with access to credit to pay for needed repairs, and a whole lot more. Here's what you need to qualify for the program. First, you need to be an active auto care partner for at least 12 months and have a steady business presence in your market for at least 2 years. Then to become gold certified, it's necessary to meet specific requirements, chosen because they create the most consistent consumer experience and proven to generate the most significant results for auto care centers across the country. Some of these include using digital vehicle inspection, having at least one ASE Master Certified Technician, a co-branded exterior, and offer consumer financing through Napa Easy Pay. You must also be an active member of a business development group. Once your shop achieves gold certification, you'll receive a number of benefits, including priority placement on Napa's shop locator pages, an allowance for marketing funds, 3636 peace of mind and local labor coverage, access to auto tech training, NapaTrax shop management system, smart sign digital menu board, and more. Talk with your servicing Napa store to find out everything you need to know about becoming a gold certified shop. What other off-the-chart stuff have you been doing?
Let's see. Those are really good examples that Jen pointed out. One of the newer ones, we've been doing it actually for a year, but is we've been creating video ads for a handful of clients. And I have one particular client in mind that he knows that he's into this advertising per se, more for brand awareness than trying to necessarily make an on-the-spot hard sale online. And when we're talking about this, we're talking about this owner wanting to put his brand in as many eyes as he can within the context of spending, advertising dollars in this format so that he can kind of have a consistency to his brand.
Yep.
And that's the other thing too, is being consistent in terms of putting your brand in front of people so that they just know that you're relevant, so that you're visible and you can be seen.
So a logo's got to look good on a business card, and it's got to look good on the side of a building.
And it has to look good on a video ad for Facebook. It has to look good in the newspaper. It has to look good on the postcard. It has to, you're right. It needs to.
It definitely is a big, even if it's subconscious, because I have a print background, commercial printing, did that for over 20 years.
Yeah.
So I worked in the capacity where I would see so many different types of collateral come across my desk. Some that was very professional, some that may not have been quite as slick looking, but it always came down to the work that I saw that stood out the most was the work that was consistent, was thought of, there was bright colors used, something that would just keep my attention, but then consistently keep my attention by having the material go out and look great, whether it's a postcard, a business card, a flyer, not so much video from my printing days, but even when I would see this same company, when it would be like an ad on TV, I would say, wow, this company really has their brand in mind by keeping everything consistent.
Yeah. I remember being involved with a logo for a product probably 25 years ago. And when we got the presentation given to us it was on a envelope, it was on a business card, and it showed what the graphic would look like at a show at a booth. And we said, why all these different mock-ups? He says, it's got to look good. Is everywhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that's one thing that people may design a logo with a lot of detail.
Correct.
When it's on a business card, it's blur, it's noise, and it doesn't have clarity.
Or hard to read font.
Yeah.
Oof, that's a tough one.
Yeah. Oh my God. What's the best kind of fonts, serif or sans serif?
It depends, but I think the simpler the design, in context of it has an icon associated with it. Generally, you do see a lot of logos as having block letters, without any extra filler, as I like to call
That's
it.
That's sans serif.
A sans serif.
Sans
yeah.
serif.
Yeah. This is not a hard and fast rule by any means, but generally something that can be read from as far away as like the back wall in an auditorium or something that is up on a banner, over a huge convention hall. You just want to make sure that it's clean.
Yeah. I mean, why is that important to me? If you've ever gone to an automotive show, have you ever gone to a technician recruitment at a college and you want to build, the table with the banner that hangs in the back, your logo has to have presence. It has to have, strength. And you're right. If it gets blown up, it could look lopsided.
It could. Generally, the things you look for, though, is making sure that it's just that the name is easily read.
So when you just drive around and flip through newspapers and watch TV, Jen, is he always saying, God, that's an ugly logo? Are you critiquing logos?
I do in my head. I would never go out and criticize something outright.
I get it.
He's very sweet.
If you ask me
good for you.
That's just the way I've operated always.
All right.
From my design to my dancing. Jennifer and I are dancers.
Yeah.
To go on a slight tangent here, there are some dancers who, will say, did I do this right? Or how does this feel? And I will just, in a social situation, I'll say it was a great dance. It was awesome. And maybe there were certain things about what they were doing that could have been adjusted, but it's not my space to really criticize, unless I'm asked specifically.
Yeah. West Coast Swing, the episode last year here at Vision was about how you wrote the book and marrying dancing with a partner in business.
Mm-hmm. And there's been some development since then, which is kind of fun. So my book, What Dancing Taught Me About Running a Successful Business, has been really successful. Several shop owners have bought copies of the book for each team member, and they are using it as exercises on how to improve the teamwork and the timing and technique. Because what I'm doing is I'm saying, hey, look, we're dance teachers, and I figured out that everything that we teach in dance class also applies to business. So people are really responding to it. And Renee and I have, as of in the last week, we started, because one person requested, hey, Jen, could you do an audiobook? And I could read into a microphone, sure, but then I thought, wait a minute, video. So Renee and I actually started creating little video modules of demonstrating. For example, we just did one, and it's out now. If you look it up, it's you can go to jenniferfilzen.com, and you can see the video. And it's about teamwork. So you see us dancing.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And then we talk about how the teamwork parlayed in that dance and how you can apply it to your business.
It's almost better than an audiobook.
Yeah, it is.
Because you're really seeing it in action.
Yeah, you get to see us dance.
And actually, I bet you more people will start dancing, not from listening to the book, but from seeing it.
Yeah. And then we also started a new video blog called Marriage Plus Business.
Oh, cool.
Because we work together, and we're in business for ourselves. And we thought, wouldn't it be fun? Because how often do you see people struggling in their marriage? Because the business is taking a toll on it. And I have to say, I love, love, love my husband. I mean, I met him in dance class. We got married in the ballroom where we met. I am so lucky to have a man that dances with me and works with me and still loves me after all of watching me every day at work.
If you're a business owner, you know what Jen is speaking of.
A lot of stress.
There's stress, and there's a lot involved with how that blends, because we are working together in particular. And for those auto repair owners, for those who are married, and we've had a couple actually on this website, on our vlog, if you will.
Yeah, we've interviewed Carl and Maureen Hutchinson.
Cool.
We've interviewed Bill and Sheila Greeno. Cool. And we have other people. We even interviewed my mom, because my parents, they started their own business when I was 11. My daddy's in hospice right now, so we could only interview her. But it was so neat hearing, especially now that I'm 49, and I didn't know what was going on when I was 11 to 21, when I was a kid in their house and watching them own their own business. And the stories of how those first 10 years was a real challenge on their marriage. And I didn't know it because they've been together for 52 years and they hid that from me. But I could appreciate it now as a business owner and as a more mature version of myself where, yeah.
I think it's great that, yeah. that you're bringing that whole marriage thing to life. Mm-hmm. You are so right. Mitch Snyder brings up in his book, Misfire, there's a lot about, you know, the struggling business and the toll that it has on the family and the marriage. And again, he wrote a novel, not a book on how to run a better shop, but a novel on how identifying the struggle and how to get it fixed and the pathway that this businessman who owns a construction company went through in order to fix himself. And the really cool thing about Misfire was that the shop owner was the one that taught the construction guy how to change his business.
Interesting. Yeah, I got to check that out.
Misfire, it's a great book. Anytime I can talk about Misfire and Mitch, I do. You said earlier, brand building. Mm-hmm. I am a shop owner listening to this, and he's saying, I'm a brand?
Yeah. In fact, everything that we do reflects our brand, from how we answer the phone when a client calls in, to having a female service advisor sitting at the desk, to having candy in the lobby, to
the cold water, the comfortable furniture, the experience,
yes.
and of course, the check-in, the check-out, the communication mm-hmm. process, and teaching them about why the work that we do here matters to them, to their safety and reliability of the vehicle. In fact, I did an episode with Scott Brown and Carolyn Coquelette. It releases mm-hmm. tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And you may not hear this episode for a few months, but the story goes that Scott basically said in the thing is that people don't know how we make our sausage. There's so much in it that we need to start telling that story.
Right.
Is how we do what we do and why we do yes. what we do and why it's so important and critical and why that we're, you know, this profession that you rely on. Mm-hmm. I don't think people recognize or believe that their brand is built in so many touch points. And that's part of your job. And your job is mm-hmm. to, when you sign on to do a, if you will, rebranding, mm-hmm. that
sure.
they're willing to pay you to do a thorough job, not just give me a new logo.
Right.
Correct.
Right. Because really, you want everything to match. You want everything. Ideally, you have the story on your website. You have the story on all of your social media channels, not just Facebook, but all of them. You have your story on YouTube. And let me tell you, there are still only a handful of people who take advantage of video. And video is really the top way to get your brand out there, because think about it, when you're scrolling through your phone, what stops your eye, what makes you pause? It's the videos, right? You want something that really stands out, whether it's a comic book style brochure or a crazy logo that you're going to put on a t-shirt commemorating an event you're putting together. I mean, here's a little story. I bought a pair of pants from Betta Brand, and brand new pants, and they're olive colored, and I washed them once and already there was some discoloration. I'm not one to make complaints, but I was just disappointed because I spent money and I wanted these pants to look good. So I contacted Betta Brand. Hey, something happened with this pair of pants that I bought from you. It's discolored. Is there any chance that I can get a replacement pair? And the first response that I received was, we're sorry, we don't do any returns, especially after it's been laundered. And I'm really not one to complain much, but I was just kind of hurt because I was like, well, I bought like 6 pairs of pants from you guys. And I wrote, well, I'm so sad about that because I really like your stuff, but I'm going to second guess buying anything from you now. Guess what? 2 days later, I get a response saying, thank you for letting us know how you feel. We are going to issue you a refund for the pants. And then I replied, thank you so much. I'm going to take that refund and buy another pair of olive colored pants from you. That was their branding. Like if they had
It's totally the wrong branding. Why wait for the complaint? Come on.
True, but
am I right or wrong?
They did save it though, but you're right.
They saved it, but after the extra effort on your part.
Right.
I mean, you had to write 2 emails to be satisfied. It should have been one email and says, well, we'll ship you out another one tomorrow.
Ideally, right? And that's why Zappos and other brands are so revered and loved, because they're going to take good care
of
you. Right. Like we landed here. The first thing we did was go get some lunch at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
They were asking what my name was for the order. Jennifer. Okay. I pull up. I hadn't even like put the brake fully on at the window to pay. And she goes, "Hi, Jennifer. Thank you so much for coming in today." Like, she didn't even need to be prompted. She was already, you know.
How does that tech work?
Yeah, great tech, isn't it? I mean, Chick-fil-A dials it in. It's that making people feel like they are valued and that you treasure them. That's what's going to create that loyalty. And if you can reflect that in everything that you do that shows how you are special and unique, then that is going to carry for you.
I did a great episode this a few hours ago that people will hear eventually as we publish all of this stuff from Vision with Kent Bullard on gamification.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so damn interesting, even though you would think gamification has something to do with gaming and stuff, and it wasn't. And he was able to really land it. It's a sophisticated type episode, but you listen intently and you say, wow, some really interesting things. And one of the things that came up when trying to look for differentiation and, you know, different experience was, and I can't remember who it was that said it recently, is that we open the door for the customer. We don't wait for them to walk in. Yeah, there could be an automatic door opener, but we actually go out before they even have a chance. They get out of their car and we're waiting with the open door saying, "Hey, Charlie, great to see you. How's the family?"
Nice.
Brilliant.
Isn't that something?
That's beautiful.
That the goal would be, depending on how the staff is and, you know, all the challenges that we have. But if you've got a big enough staff, and many of our great aftermarketers are growing and they're getting off their counter and they're staffing to the point where there's a couple of people on the counter, they're opening the door for the customer. Mm-hmm. You talk about a powerful first impression.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about a logo that says, you know, we have an open door policy here. I don't know. I mean, you can come up with some creative marketing pieces around that. And if you consistently do that, you're building differentiation like no tomorrow. Now, you know about that, and you're getting ready to create a brand that's solid and platinum, you know. You can take that energy inside the business and then design around it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all those factors really feed into what I do when it first is delivered. Maybe they mention something just off the cuff, and I'm like, well, there's a thing that I could zone in on and then incorporate that, even if it's working subconsciously in my mind. All of those types of input really affect what the end product could be.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. I had a blast. Thanks for dragging husband Renee in.
My pleasure.
I wish you continued success now that you're teaming up to help build brands and to help market our shops here in the good old North America here. So Jennifer Filzen from Rockstar Marketing and Renee Areola, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.